Hey, good morning. Welcome to Lane Park Church this morning. We hope you've had a great week. We hope you're well. If you're in isolation, we are praying for you. Remember, we're all in this together. And, you know, if you need help in anywhere, any way, and that, just reach out to someone around you, reach out to one of the life group leaders, the elders, ourselves, give the office a call, but don't try and do it alone. We're all in this together. So, I'm really excited about this message that I've got to share with us this morning. And I just want to pick it up in chapter 2 of Exodus, the book of Exodus. Now, before I get into it, one thing that would be really good for you to do is if you read from chapter 1 to chapter 5, either following this message that I've given, or you want to hit pause and just spend some time and read chapter 1 to 5, you'll probably find this really beneficial, but you don't need to. You can just listen to what I'm saying and then just read chapter 1 to chapter 5. Obviously, because of the time for the sermon and message this morning, I can't read the whole thing, but I'll just be picking little bits and pieces out of it. So I'll just start by reading chapter 2. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So he thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here am I.'" That's a great response. When God calls us, "Here am I." Great response. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." The topic of my message today is being drawn into God's narrative. Being drawn into God's narrative. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we recognize who you are, that you are the creator of this universe. You are, as you spoke in that scripture, you're the God of our forefathers. You've created everything in this world. And as we spend time talking about that and talking about life and life in you, Father, I just pray that you speak to every one of us. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever decided to watch a movie and as you start watching it, you get into the movie so much that you actually start feeling for the hero? You start feeling the tension that the hero's feeling. You start feeling the fear that the other subjects or central characters in the movie are feeling, and you start getting anxiety going on and just feeling generally worried for them. And, you know, in action scenes, you may even find yourself, as I do, moving, you know, when there's someone swings or you're in a chase scene, you're suddenly moving your head around. Or maybe you've been watching a rugby match and as the person's getting tackled, you find yourself moving to the side. And I often find myself that. But It kind of reminds me of something that God is always wanting to do. And if you read the Bible from start to finish and you look at our lives, and that it's part of what God is wanting to do is bring us into his narrative. And you look through, and I want to talk about Moses today, but Moses is just one example of a person who was unwilling and thought he was unqualified. But God thought differently about him, and God wanted to bring him into his story of and get him to walk through his path that God had prepared for him. Now, this freaked Moses out, and we'll just run through some of that stuff. So, and there's some learning points about that. But as we're listening to Moses, I want you us to be thinking about, are there aspects of this that are similar to me? Are there things that are similar to me? Can I come into God's narrative in areas of my life and that? So just to kind of set things out at the start and that, I just want to spend some time, and we're picking it up. We're basically today covering chapter 1 to chapter 5, and I'll be speaking about this probably the next few times that I speak, but this is just chapter 1 to chapter 5, and it basically starts out, chapter 1 starts out that with the plight of the Israelites after they had gone to Egypt and lived there under Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh was kind towards Egypt and lived under with a really great relationship with Joseph, who was Israel's son, and all of Joseph's other 11 brothers moved to Egypt, and then the king died, and there was another mentions king of Egypt. Now, when you're reading the Bible, sometimes it uses king of Egypt and sometimes it uses Pharaoh. So they kind of change terminology, but it means the same thing. King and Pharaoh are the same central character they're talking about. So the Pharaoh that was leading Egypt under Joseph dies, and there's a new king in it. And the Bible records that this king didn't know about the history of Joseph. See, he was outside of the narrative that had occurred before, and he didn't know about that. And as a result, he started behaving in a different way than he had than the former king had. And so he started looking at the numbers of Israelites, and it says that the Israelites grew and their numbers grew, and concerns started to be raised in Egypt between the Egyptians and the king and they started worrying, if there's a battle, if our enemies come and start fighting us, the Israelites might suddenly just change to them. They'll overrun us because they're in such vast number. And we'll lose everything, and the Israelites will have won. So they started actually working them. They put slave masters over the Israelites, and they started actually making them do manual labor and treating them very badly. And they built some cities but in God's way, the worse the Israelites were treated, the more they multiplied. So it kind of didn't work for Egypt so well. So they started treating them even worse. And the king of Egypt started talking to midwives that would assist the Israelite women to have babies, and said, if it's a girl, you can let it live. But if it's a boy, you're to kill it at birth. Now, the Bible records that the midwives feared God and wouldn't comply with that instruction. And when the king called them back to give account as to why they weren't following the instructions given, they said that they were having babies before they got there, and there was nothing they could do about it. Chapter 2 starts off with the birth of Moses. So chapter 1 closes with God hears the distress of Israel and becomes worried about it. And there's nothing that God hears like the cry of people who are defenseless and vulnerable and being picked on, basically. And so chapter 2, enter Moses. Moses is born, and you can read about the background of the birth, but chapter 2 talks about Moses, that he's adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He is raised in the palace. He learns the Egyptian ways, and he has all the benefits that an Egyptian prince would have. And then he still feels aligned to Israelites, and he sees a slave master beating an Israelite. Says that he looks around, he sees that no one can see, so he goes and kills that slave master. Long story short, Pharaoh finds out that Moses has killed the slave master, and so Moses flees to Midian. And chapter 3 commences. Moses is in Midian, he's farming, he's tending sheep, and he, as we have read here, he's out with the sheep and he sees a burning bush. And he wonders why it's not burning up, and he approaches and is spoken to by God. And this is where I want to pick it up. I want to just start talking through some aspects of it. And the first learning point that I've got that we can bring out of this is being drawn into God's narrative requires laying some things down. It's really interesting when Moses comes to this burning bush and gets close, God says, take your shoes off, take your sandals off, because you're on holy ground. Moses has to lay some stuff off to come into this area. The term holy ground actually means the area is consecrated. It's set down for a purpose. And in this particular purpose, it's being used by God intensely to communicate with Moses. So God has plans, and he tells Moses, when he's talking to him, he tells him all about that he's heard the cries of Israel, and that he is going to use Moses to go and deliver the Israelite people. Moses isn't so happy about that. He doesn't get his self-worth. He doesn't think he speaks well. And he just doesn't want to know about it. He just wants to stay in the desert and just tend to these sheep for his father Jethro and not know anything about it. But he ends up doing it. And then we get to learning point two, which is being drawn into God's narrative requires a willingness to worship him. And then we read it out, but in verse 6 it said, then he said, I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, when it uses the word afraid, it doesn't actually mean like trembling because he's scared. It means a good, wholesome respect. So God actually Moses actually had strong feelings of respect and honor. He knew he was dealing with the God of his forefathers, and he looked down and didn't look at God as a sign of respect to God. That's a really good thing for us to learn, is we should come to God and we should respect God. We should have a good, holy respect for him. But it doesn't mean we need to fear him. We can walk in an amazing relationship. And as you look at the life of Moses, and this is one of the reasons why I want to look at Moses, is if you look from the start where he didn't even know who God's name was through to the end days, he sat. And by the end of it, he would sit and have conversations with God. He would talk with God. And the Bible records that Moses was a friend of God. What an incredible statement. I wonder if I will ever get to that point with God that God would say of me, he was a friend of mine. I certainly hope so. But this is what was said. This is the intimacy that was between God and Moses as he journeyed through. But it was quite a long sort of stretch to get there. It wasn't a 5-minute thing. There were a lot of twists and turns and a lot of drama coming through, which is covered in chapters 1-5 for today and then further on next time. Learning point three is being drawn into God's narrative creates opportunities for others to draw closer. So we haven't read it, but in chapter 4:29, Exodus 4:29, Moses has been given his brother-in-law, Aaron. So Moses has resisted God and said, I can't speak, I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't want to go, send someone else. And in the end, God relents and he says, I'll give you your brother-in-law and he can speak for you, because Moses was very concerned about his ability to speak. And he said he was slow of speech, and that's kind of has been considered in different lights, and that he may just have not been used to public speaking. I would personally be really nervous going before Pharaoh to speak to him, with even though I speak a little bit in public, and that I would still be nervous going and speaking in that setting. Moses had been out in the desert for many, 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 many years, decades, and he was not keen on the idea. So God gives him Aaron, and then they went to speak to the elders of Israel, and God gave him signs and wonders. He gave him his staff that he walked with, and God said, when you throw it down, it'll turn into a snake, and then you pick it up by the tail, and it will change to a staff again. And so they went to the Israelite elders, and this is where we pick it up. And Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and they worshipped. Bowed down and they worshipped. Isn't that great? So that learning point, being drawn into God's narrative, creates opportunities for others to also draw near. Think about that for a second. When we draw close to God and we live out our narrative closely with God, we become a light, we become an influencer, we become a person that can lead others to enjoy the narrative that they're meant to enjoy and journey with God. Last year, those of you that are in church here will know that we work with a group called Tahahe, which works in the domestic violence area. And last year, Gina and I went out to drop food parcels into a family that were having needed some help. And when we dropped the food parcels in, we were invited in. And when we sat down at the table, the lady said to me, do you remember me? And I said, no, I don't, because I didn't. And she said, 3 weeks ago, I was run out of petrol and you stopped and got me some petrol and put petrol in my car. And then I remembered that she was right. About 2 or 3 weeks before, I had been driving home. She had been run out of petrol. And I had turned around and come back and said, what's the problem? And she said, I've run out of petrol. And I said, I can go and get some for you. And she said, don't worry, I've got no money. I don't get paid till, I think it was tomorrow or the next day. And so don't worry about it. And I said, that's cool, I'll give you some, I'll shat you. So I went off to the service station, just got $20, brought it back, put it in a car. And I felt to just say to her as I was doing that, look, I just feel, I believe in God, and I just feel that God wants to say to you, he sees you and he knows what you're going through. And it didn't mean anything to me. And then I said goodbye and I left. She offered to grab my number and pay. And I said, don't worry about it. It's a gift to you. Don't worry. You know, it's good. But I just said, but I do feel God sees you and he knows what you're going through. When we sat down at the table, this lady said, we had just had a domestic just before that, and I'd just driven away to it, and I was driving to my sister's, and I ran out of petrol. And then suddenly I turn up, put petrol in her car, someone she's never seen before, and I look at her, and I say, God sees, and God cares. See, now, I could have just driven by that, And I didn't feel God didn't say to me, go back and put petrol in that car or anything. I just drove past, noticed that there was a person that needed help, stopped to help them, and that eventuated out of it. So now we have a lady that knows that she has a creator that actually sees what's going on in her world and can actually have random strangers turn up and just do crazy stuff. She runs out of petrol and someone just turns up and shouts at petrol and then tells her that the creator of the universe sees her predicament and cares about her. That's powerful. And that is our ability as believers. When we walk in God's narrative for our lives and we live out God's ways and we walk consistently with Him, we also have the ability to invite others in. Now, I didn't give her any big, great invite. I just told her those couple of things. But God links on, and I have no doubt that since that time, God will have been speaking to her, and He's probably brought other people into her life to actually carry on that narrative, to bring Himself in closer to her and to bring her closer to Him. So it's an exciting situation that we have. I want to just show you this way as well. Here is a continuum. This is our distance from God. And here is you. We'll give you a nice face. Nice body, you don't need to worry, you're not carrying any kilos, or it could be a picture of me in faith. And there is God down this end here, and let's call it God's narrative. And down this end, your narrative. And what God is calling you to do is move closer towards Him. And when you do that, by moving closer towards God's narrative, you actually move further away from your narrative. The Bible refers to this as the old man, the old man's way of thinking, the old man's way of operating. But when we choose to do the opposite, we choose to ignore God's right to our life and we choose to say, I'm come first, and we start to move our direction to our narrative, we actually move away from God's narrative. And this is what is sometimes coined the term backsliding, because we're not sliding towards God, we slide towards ourselves. But it's great to be aware of this, that we should always be looking to go to God's narrative. That's all that matters. There is nothing down here that we should want. There is no happiness at the end of that tunnel. We need to head into God's narrative. It's the safest place to be. The disciples found it with Jesus when they were out in the boat. When you're in a storm, the safest place to be is in the eye of the storm with Jesus in a boat with you. So if you're not in Jesus' narrative or God's narrative, my recommendation is get into His narrative. Get around people who know how to be in His narrative and stay in His narrative. Always push towards God. Number four. Being drawn into God's narrative allows us to challenge things that prevent us from getting closer. So every step that we take towards, we move away from the things that hold us back. And so it's just really good, solid teaching. It's just, we move towards Him. We turn our back on things that hold us back. We run the race that the Bible talks about, and we cast off things that hold us back. Any lines, anything, habits, any talk, any thought life, we leave that behind and we travel towards God's narrative. And it's good to remember that God is traveling with us, often catching us and carrying us through the hard times. There will be hard times. I wish I could tell you there's not going to be hard times. Life is full of hard times. It doesn't matter if you're a believer or not a believer, you will experience hard times. Everyone does. It's a little thing called life. But the great thing is that God travels through with us. Isn't that wonderful? God travels with us. And learning point five, being drawn into God's narrative will at times mean traveling through pain, but relief is on its way. Isn't that good? That's good news. The Israelites were in Egypt. They were under hardship, but God had heard in chapter one. God created Moses in chapter two. God created, allowed there to be situations which would force Moses at the end of chapter two to Midian. In chapter three, God starts speaking to Moses and preparing him and sends him to Israel. And from there on, and he starts working with Israel to actually bring their pain, them away from their pain, and actually assist them to leave Egypt so that they could live wholly for God without the pain that they were being inflicted by the Egyptians and living closer to God. Isn't that great? My final teaching point is this, and my final challenge is this. James 4:8 says, draw close to God and he will draw close to us. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. You know, we have to take the initial steps. God doesn't take the first steps, although he really does. I believe he does. I look back at my early life. I came to know about God when I was 15 years old. But I can see a time of about 1 year where I know he was orchestrating stuff. I know he was bringing people across my path who would say certain things and challenge me in areas, and who was creating my heart to be open so that when the words came later on in that year, they would actually have some weight with them, and it would actually shake me out of a little bit of a sleep that I was in, a spiritual sleep, and actually make me seek God. So I do actually believe that God does work in our lives. But the Bible says, draw close to God and he will draw near to us as a principle. And it's a promise as well, that we can take it as a promise. If you push into God, he will push towards you. If you're going through hard times and you don't know where to turn, if you move towards God, he will move towards us. Doesn't mean he'll, you know, take us out of that scenario, but he will walk through that scenario with us. And I've walked through a lot of tough scenarios. And I tell you what, I wouldn't want anyone else in my life to walk through them than God. It is amazing to walk through scenarios with God. And it builds hope into our lives. And Trevor talked about hope last week, didn't he? He preached an absolutely incredible sermon about hope. And if you didn't see that sermon, that message, I really encourage you to go back and look it up and have a look at it. It was absolutely amazing. You know, we need to live out our designer's designs for our lives. It's the safest place to live our lives. We're designed to live a certain way, and God has designed us to live in his narrative according to his ways. And I'm going to finish with this Romans chapter 15, 13, which Trevor finished with last week. And it's all about hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next time we'll look a little bit further at Moses as he journeys with Pharaoh and with Israel and the things that come out of that. So I'll pray. Father, I lift up this word to you, and I just pray that you would bring it to our hearts. Teach us how to live in your narrative, Father. I just pray that you would make us effective as people. If we know you, make us more effective. If we don't know you, I pray that you help us to know you. Help us to come into your narrative by surrendering our lives and giving our lives to you, Father. And I pray that just as I shared that story about been effective with that lady last year. I pray that you would help us to be effective every day with helping others to come closer to you, to hear about your narrative, to step into your narrative, and to live in your narrative. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a little word for you just for today. I hope you tuck that away. As I said, read chapter 1 to 5 of Exodus. And next time we'll move on beyond that, probably pick it up in 6 and go a little bit further on. If you don't know God and you don't know, you've maybe not walked in his narrative, my encouragement is spend some time and just give yourself over to him. Allow him to be the God of your life. Move away from your narrative and move to God's narrative. Have a great day. God bless.